Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Psychic Teachers. I'm Samantha Fay.
And I'm Deb Bowen.
And we're so happy to have you with us tonight. Our topic for the evening is going to be crystal grids.
Oh, I'm so excited. I love talking about crystal grids. But before we do that, we have a couple of announcements and things that we have started new on our show. So let us fill you in on that. As of tonight, beginning as we had told our callers for the first Sunday in September, that we are no longer taking callers on our shows. Periodically, we will announce a show where we will just take callers, but we don't know exactly when that's going to be yet, so check on our page on Blog Talk for information about when that might be coming. But we've realized and have been so inundated with emails from listeners saying, please, please, please stop the calls, that we're going to do that for a while. The other thing we want to tell you about for tonight is that Samantha and I have started a new feature on the show where she talks to you about a crystal and I talk to you about a tarot card, and I'm working my way through the cards in numeric order. Do you want me to talk first, Samantha?
Sure.
Or do you want to talk
first?
Okay. So 2 weeks ago, I started this process by telling you about the Fool, which is the first card in Tarot, in traditional Tarot, and it is numbered 0. And last week, I talked about the Magician, which is number 1. So this week, we move to number 2 card, or key, as they're called, in the Major Arcana, with the High Priestess. The High Priestess is one of my favorite cards in Tarot. The High Priestess symbolizes that which is in us that is truly intuitive, that really has the ability to know. The High Priestess is symbolic of finding balance in one's life. She is seated on a throne between a black and a white pillar, representing in Kabbalah the traditions and the beliefs of Joachim and Boaz. She holds in her hands the Torah scroll, but part of the name is hidden to remind us that no matter what, we will never know all that there is to know in the world of the esoteric. The High Priestess is also connected with the Greek goddess Persephone, who spends part of the year relegated to Hades and part of the year walking the earth. The pomegranate is sacred to her. And so whenever we celebrate the young maiden part of who we are, we use pomegranates in that symbol. The High Priestess also has on her head a crown with the three phases of the moon to represent the maiden, the mother, and the crone who lives within us all. And at the hem of her gown, there is a crescent moon, again representing our ability to be intuitive, and her gown flows out of the card and into the rest of the Major Arcana to represent the stream of consciousness, that collective unconscious to which we all have access if we will but ask.
That's beautiful.
Isn't she wonderful?
Mm-hmm. Tell people what it means when you pull her in a reading.
Well, for me personally, when I pull the High Priestess for a querent, it often means to me that that person has psychic ability, latent psychic ability. Sometimes, and this happens frequently when I'm doing a reading, somebody will pull that card and we'll talk about the ability that that person has. Sometimes they're frightened of it, or sometimes they don't know really how to begin. And so a part of my work with somebody when I'm doing a reading for them like that is to help them find resources to begin to move them along that path of intuition.
Wonderful. Yeah, I always get excited when she shows up in a reading.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it means I'm sitting across from someone who's about to embark on a really amazing spiritual intuitive journey.
Absolutely. I did a reading, gosh, it's been some time ago, for a woman. The High Priestess came up. She came back to see me about 6 months later. The High Priestess came up again. She came back another 6 months later. The High Priestess came up again. I said, what part of this key are you not getting here? What are you doing? And, you know, and she said, well, I just need some guidance to, and really to feel like I've got some real support as I move along this path. I really want to, but I'm nervous. And so she then came. I do twice a year an intensive tarot course, and she came to that, and she's now doing some tarot work herself, and I'm so excited about that for her.
The first time I came to see you, that was the card I pulled in my future position.
Well, of course it was.
It seems like so long ago.
It was a long time ago.
Okay, so the crystal that I want to talk about tonight is Botswana agate.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, it's a lovely stone. And what I like about Botswana is that it's so multidimensionally healing, and yet it's very easily found. You can get a small tumbled stone for about 30 cents. So it's, you know, it's not going to break your bank like some of the other amazing stones that we may have talked about. Botswana agate is often, it's just swirls and swirls and swirls of gray and like a grayish blue, and it just is mesmerizing to me. It does a lot, so I'm just going to kind of go through them a little bit quickly. It works primarily on the crown chakra, and it helps to ground you while you're working to open up the crown chakra, which is very, very important. It's an environmental healer. It works really well in grids around the house, which we're going to talk about grids in a little bit.
Absolutely.
It helps to absorb negative energy. I remember I read a book by a crystal healer, and I remember he said that he always keeps a large bowl filled with Botswana agate to absorb any negativity. He keeps it right by the front door on the entrance table, and he does it for two reasons. One, to absorb the negativity of anyone coming into his home, and two, to give out to anyone who comes to his home who's depressed, because Botswana agate helps us to fight depression.
Oh, okay.
If you place Botswana agate on the third eye while meditating, it will cut any mental cords to any partner you have in your present life with whom you have past life issues. It will cut mental cords to a parent who's being who maybe in childhood was very manipulative, you know, the passive aggressive type or sometimes overtly aggressive type. It will help to cut cords to that parent. If you've been abused physically or sexually, it'll help to dissipate some of that cellular memory.
I don't think I knew that. That's great to know.
Yeah, usually they recommend carnelian for that and rhodochrosite and rhodondite, but Botswana agate works for that as well.
Oh, nice. I didn't know that.
Because it teaches that sexuality is a natural part of life, and it helps you to become more open and comfortable with that. It helps you to release any repression. It's great for artists. It's great for sensitive people who are easily hurt. Anyone who has a little bit of OCD, go to Botswana agate. It just kind of slows down obsessive compulsive thoughts.
Well, it sounds like every mental health professional needs some of those.
Yeah,
in the office.
I'm telling you what, it's a wonderful it's a wonderful stone. It's also a great stone for firefighters and smokers because it helps anyone who's working with fire or smoke. If you want to quit smoking, wear or carry Botswana agate. And if you want to stay safe while you're fighting fires, wear or carry Botswana agate. In terms of physical healing, like I said before, it benefits depression. It helps to detoxify you. Because it deals with sexual issues, it's also a good stone to turn to for fertility issues.
Mm-hmm.
And it works on the circulatory system.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else I forgot. I just think it's a really good stone that everybody, you know, it should be in your bag of crystals. Maybe next week I'll talk about Apache Tear because it's very similar in that it really does absorb any negativity, depression, bitterness, sadness, that type of thing.
Oh, good.
So go out and buy some Botswana agate.
Botswana agate. You might want to just write that down in the chat room for folks in the chat room.
B-O-T-S-W-A-N-A, and then agate. And like I said, it's very
easy. Like the country Botswana.
What?
Like the country
Botswana? Just like the country Botswana.
There you go.
Yeah. It is mined originally in Botswana, but you can also find it in the United States, Morocco, Brazil, so all over.
Oh, there we go. Okay, good. Thank you. All right. Okay, let's talk about crystal grids.
I love crystal grids. I had a wonderful friend who was visiting, he's been a guest on our show, Joel Hawkins, who was visiting with me just recently from his home state. And we spent a lot of time while we were together, of course, talking about stones, because he knows so much, and talking about grids. And before he left, he created a new crystal grid for me in my house, in my entranceway, as a welcoming and calming and energy balancing grid in my foyer. So let's talk about the different ways in which we can use crystal grids, and then we'll talk about specifics on how we might make them and what kind of stones you might want to use for what.
Okay, well, let's start with what I just mentioned, gridding your house.
Okay, before we go there, let's talk about this, the notion that there are lines of energy.
Oh, you mean define what a grid is before we tell them how to do it?
can we do that?
Yeah, that would be a good idea.
Okay, let's do it. There are, imagine, and folks have actually seen pictures of this. What's his name? Bertrand Russell and some of those folks. Imagine that Mother Earth is literally encased in a grid of white light, a grid of energy lines that run across and through this planet, sort of like latitude and longitude lines, except that there are energy patterns that run around the world. So we call those ley lines, L-E-Y, lines sometimes. But there are also patterns and lines of energy that run through your property, through your home, through your body. We call those meridian points in acupuncture, for example. And so there is always around us on so many layers and levels already existent lines of energy. And so when we create grids, literally by positioning stones in certain patterns, we tap into those existing grids that are already there. And we can create grids in many different patterns. So let's talk about what we would call environmental grids, which is gridding your house or gridding your home. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I think what Deb said is just really, really well put, because I always have a hard time explaining how grids work. I have a hard time explaining how crystals work. And if any of you did not hear the podcast that I did with Joel about a month back where he explains crystals, please go into iTunes and check that out, because that was one of the best explanations I've ever heard of how crystals work. So I think you did a great job of explaining how grids work. The way I look at it is the way I look at everything, which is sort of, a classroom format. If we're doing all of this work to purposely create something in our lives, we're going to create the energy behind it. You know that quote, if you want your ship to come in, you've got to build the dock?
Yes.
I feel like doing crystal grids is building your dock.
Well, it is. It's a combination of the two for me.
Mm-hmm.
In that the grids are there, the ley lines are there, the stones already have their jobs to do that they've agreed to do in the universe. Otherwise, we would just have one rock and it would be
right.
Rock. But now we got all these different things, so they have jobs to do. And when we multiply that with our intent, then we've exponentially grown the potential power of that energy source.
Exactly. That's a great way of, and that's how you put it all together, and that's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll just start by telling everybody what I did to my house.
Okay, and I'll tell folks what I did to mine, and we'll talk about how it might be the same or different.
There are several ways to grid your house. And remember, people, it all goes back to intention.
Indeed.
But the way I did it was I took 4 black tourmaline and 4 St. Benedict medals, and I put those in the 4 corners of my home. I'm sorry, of my property. So you look at your house, and, you know, I don't have a perfect my house does not sit on a perfect rectangle. You know, I have a large yard and a large side yard, but I still have 4 corners. So you find your 4 corners. and you bury about a foot down your black tourmaline, and if you'd like the Saint Benedict medal, just because it has extra prayers of protection on it, if that works with your belief system. And then what I did was I got about 3 pounds of tumbled small tumbled rose quartz, and I buried those all along the perimeter of my property between the black tourmaline, so that I was gridding my house in protection, because black tourmaline is one of the best stones for protection, as is black kyanite, as is hematite or obsidian or jet. Any really strong black stone is going to be excellent for grounding and protection. And then the reason why I did the rose quartz was just to kind of ground it in a place of love and light as well. And then what I did was around the four corners of my actual house, I put more four black tourmaline there. And then, this doesn't really go with crystal grids, but I just will go ahead and add it. About once a year, sometimes every 6 months, I go around the property and I put a line of salt around the perimeter and then a line of salt around my house.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I've done, when you walk up the front stairs to my house, on the left side and the right side are two planters filled with now very droopy flowers with this heat we've got going on. And what I did is on the left planter and on the right planter, I scattered 7 chakra stones. And that is just to balance the energies of the home and people entering the home. So, for example, I took a jasper, a carnelian, a citrine, a green aventurine, a blue lace agate, a sodalite, and an amethyst. And I put that in the left one and then again in the right planter. And then underneath the lip of my front door, I put a line of magnetized hematite. And I asked that magnetized hematite to draw to it any negativity from anyone choosing to enter my home. So that is how I've protected my house.
Wow. Okay. Mine's very different from that.
I'm so surprised.
Well, and I love that because it really does help folks know that this isn't always right or wrong. Again, it's about intent, and it's about what resonates for you. I, for example, wouldn't use black tourmaline.
Mm-hmm.
I think of, and you and I have some differences of how we view just clear quartz.
Correct.
I know you think of it often as an amplifier. I think of it as Mother Earth's all-purpose. Just will take care of almost anything stone. So I tend to often to default to clear quartz. So I wouldn't use black tourmaline there. I have different other uses that I use black tourmaline for. But I have clear quartz in the corners of my yard. And that's all. I don't have anything lining in the middle. See, I'm not that rose quartz gal like you. So I'm just not.
True love.
I know. Well, I don't mean that, but, you know. But so I just have that.
Yeah.
I also, however.
And I think that's fine, because if you ask it to protect you, clear quartz is a wonderful choice for that.
Absolutely. And then I, too, periodically reinforce that perimeter, either with sea salt or with cornmeal. And I use cornmeal because of my teachers in the Native traditions, in the First Peoples traditions. Cornmeal sets sacred space. And that's really what I look at it as. It's not so much as keeping energy out as it is just creating this to be a sacred space within.
Right. Right.
Now, in my house, every room in my house has a stone in it. That's job specifically is I have asked that stone. Remember, we don't like the word programming, folks. I have asked that stone to be the guardian of that room, to do the protection. Here's where the protection for me comes in. And in every room in my house, there's a quartz crystal in the windowsill somewhere, on a table, in on a dish, somehow or another, there is a stone in every room. that with whom I have had communication, where I have asked the stone to be the protector of that. I have to tell a real funny story about that. Some time ago, I was in a metaphysical shop nearby our home, and I was just wandering around the store and talking to the owner, and a woman came in who, it was her first time in the store, and so she was trying to figure out what the store was all about and what the stuff was in here. And she mentioned that she had been to the county seat of that county to buy a gun permit because she had had someone break into her home. And I, before I could stop myself, I looked at her and said, why do you need a gun? You've got this gal's got crystals. Why don't you just use crystals? I think that's the very best protection around a home I could possibly think of. And I believe that. I really do. And the stones that do that job for me have been with me literally since the early 80s. So we've been together a long time. 30 years those stones have been doing that job.
And tell people how you've had a protected space that whole time.
Well, I'm very blessed.
Right.
I have indeed.
I think that is a good, you know, I remember in our neighborhood we had some stupid teenagers coming through for a summer breaking into cars, and ours never got broken into. And I don't know if it's because of the crystals, but I'd like to believe it is.
Well, I certainly believe it is. Yes. I cannot imagine not having a crystal on the dashboard.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine that.
And I do want to say to any young parents listening to the show, you can do this with kids, because I have the little wands of selenite on the windowsills of every window in my house. And my kids ask, what's that, Mommy? You can't really see it. It's not like you walk into my house and you're bombarded with crystals, right? And same thing in your house, Deb. I mean, you see them, but they're part of the fabric of the home.
Right.
And these selenite wands are relatively small, and they're just placed up top. And I told them, I said, oh, that's to invite our angels in. Let's leave that there. And
uh-huh.
That's it.
Uh-huh.
And they know that's for our angels, and they don't touch it. Now, at that other, at the metaphysical store that you were just talking about, they grid their property in a completely different way. They have little cups of salt in all four corners of every room, I believe,
mm-hmm.
and they put a selenite wand and something else in the cup.
Hematite, I believe.
Is it hematite? Okay.
I think. No. No, it's howlite.
Howlite, okay.
Howlite. Mm-hmm. Entirely yet another way.
Another way, which I could, that's something I couldn't do with kids or pets.
Oh, no.
They would
no.
think that was a ton of fun to pour that out.
Oh. When I do a house clearing for someone, and it's not like that normally, on rare occasion I will do this differently, but normally the person I'm doing a house clearing for and I work together through a moon cycle, and part of that is to find a place where dogs or pets or children can't get to it, and I do use salt to absorb negativity, but not just as a general rule. I don't keep salt lying around in corners in my house. So we are, I hope folks are hearing that there are lots of different ways and different stones. It just really does depend on your intent if you're talking about an environmental grid. But there are so many other reasons that you can create a crystal grid. Let me give an example of that. Last spring, I was leading a trip of, I think there were 10 of us, yes, me and 9 travelers, were going on a trip to South Dakota in March. Folks, it's too long a story to explain why I was doing that, but I was. And I invited all of the travelers over to my house, and I had already picked out which stones I wanted to use, and I created a spiral because I wanted to bring energy into a circle. I wanted to bring communion and commonality into the group. And so I created crystals in a pattern. I laid out a piece of cloth on my coffee table. And in that spiral, I put in specific stones and asked them for this trip to do a certain task. I asked for safe travel. I asked for good traveling weather. I asked that no one get sick physically or emotionally on this trip. I asked for spirits to guide over us. I asked for people for this to be a real learning experience. And each stone had a place in the grid. And we put that grid together, probably in January, and left it up and reinforced it and talked about it and with it until we got back from the trip, because we didn't dismantle it until we had come home and were able to say thank you, because each of those stones did indeed do all the things that we had asked them to do.
That is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good lesson to listeners, that you can use grids to simply send good energy towards a future trip.
Oh, absolutely.
I have a lovely grid, a crystal grid in my office where I do my readings. I don't know, you remember my office where the that lovely table, like that built-in juts out, and I've made that into just a huge crystal grid. And what I do is every time a client leaves my office, I whisper his or her name into the grid, and I ask the crystals to send them love and light.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just you can do it with healing people. You can do it with healing places, with relationships.
Right.
And you can also do it to send good intentions out into the world after that person or towards a future date.
Absolutely. Let me add two things to this. One, there's a caller waiting on the switchboard. We're not taking calls tonight. I'm so sorry. So you might want to know that. We will be taking callers sometime in the future, but not tonight. And then, but in line with what you were saying about the intent of a grid, after the spill in the Gulf of Mexico, a group of my friends and I all got together, and we all created crystal grids at our home for healing and for love and energy to the Gulf of Mexico and all the sea people who live in the Gulf, as well as the people themselves who live on the perimeter. So that's another thing you can do. And for that grid, I used water symbols. I used stones that represented water. I used moonstone. I used a piece of coral. I also incorporated, and this is another thing you can do, a gull feather. I used a turtle to represent both Mother Earth and the sea turtles in creating that grid. So they don't
Larimar
have to just be stoned. I'm sorry?
Larimar would have been nice.
It would have been, but I don't have any of that.
I know. It's so expensive. I love that stone.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an easily found one. But anyway,
mm-hmm.
I digress. I think that's a lovely idea, and what's nice about doing that is I'm sure all of us are praying for a healing to the Gulf waters, but when you set up a crystal grid, it's sending that intention out constantly. Whereas
it is another way of praying.
Yes, if we can't pray all day.
No, but the grid can for us.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's so nice to do that.
When the Bible says pray without ceasing, this is a way you can really begin to do that.
Exactly. So there's other crystal grids that you can create in your home if you're trying to manifest prosperity. And if you are a friend on our Facebook page, or if you go to my blog, crystal-chick.blogspot.com, you will see that I posted pictures of two grids that I have currently going on in my home, and one of them is my prosperity grid. And I think you and I do those kind of similarly.
I think we do, too. Tell them what you do, and then
okay.
I'll think
what I do is I take 8 green aventurine and 8 citrine and 1 rose quartz that has a pyramid-pointed top.
Uh-huh.
And I put the rose quartz in the middle, and then I alternate green quartz, citrine, and an 8 shape around the rose quartz.
Uh-huh.
And I don't lay it down as an 8. I lay it down as the infinity symbol.
So on its side.
On its side.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I do my prosperity grids this way is because green aventurine helps us to manifest money with luck and good fortune. And citrine helps us to manifest money with success, and it gives us the ability to hold on to that money.
And tell them why you use the number 8.
And 8 is because 8 is the number of financial abundance.
Right.
And the reason why I put it on the side is because it becomes the infinity symbol, and then it puts out to the universe that I am infinitely open to the abundance of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I put the rose quartz in the center is so that I can do all of this out of an attitude of love rather than fear.
Because
often when we're manifesting money, it comes from a place of fear.
Right.
So if you go to my blog, or if you go to our Psychic Teachers fan page on Facebook, you will see the pictures of my prosperity blog. Do you want to talk about your prosperity blog?
Yeah, I do. I'm just Yes, somebody's asking for our website.
Yes, I will do that.
And would you do that?
Yep.
I'm doing the psychic teachers one. If you'll do that, and then I'll do our blog, too. Okay. My prosperity grid is similar to yours. I agree. I mean, I use citrine a lot. I use green aventurine as well. Now, there you go. You're the rose quartz queen. That's my new nickname for you. but I also use I use clear quartz again. That's my centerpiece for that. So that's how I do a prosperity grid.
And
sometimes
what you can do is underneath it.
That's exactly what I was getting
so
ready to say.
Go.
Good. Yeah, go ahead.
I beat you to it. Underneath it, I write my affirmation.
Uh-huh.
And mine, I change mine up all the time. My favorite one, I think, is though, every time I spend money, it comes back to me threefold.
Right. That's nice.
Or I manifest money every day in every way with love, ease, and gratitude.
And that works for you.
Mm-hmm.
It does.
What works for you?
I don't know. I tend to write myself checks.
Yes. Tell your story.
We're digressing from crystals, but just real briefly, on July 4th, an Independence Day, in 2008, I wrote myself a check for abundance, for a specific situation that I wanted cleared up, and my goal was that it would be cleared before the end of the year, and it so was, and again, and threefold. It was just wonderful, just wonderful. So, yeah, that does work. Another thing that you can do with a crystal grid is send out healing energy with crystals.
Mm-hmm.
Some months ago, a really good friend of ours was in a really terrible car accident. And within 2 hours of the group of us knowing about that, we all had crystal grids in our homes set up. Reiki was being sent. And we used, golly, let me think what stones we used for that. I should write these things down when I create them. That's another thing, folks, is you should keep records of this stuff when you do it, because that way you can duplicate it.
Well, I would have used malachite.
We did. We used malachite. She had some, I used howlite. She had some broken bones kind of things and muscle problems, so I used some of the white stones for bones and muscle healing. I used malachite. I think I used labradorite. I put a super 7 in the center that really will just everything. I mean, it's the all-purpose stone. Amethyst, of course. In fact, I just took an amethyst to a friend who has a broken ankle for her to use as a leg rest, basically, because it's a pretty big piece of stone. So,
And I hope what everyone is hearing is that there's not going to be a book on crystal grids where it says to do a healing, you must use these stones.
Absolutely.
It's just you kind of having knowledge of your stone. A great book, let me put this in the chat room, is called Crystal Prescriptions. By Judy Hall, and I just like that one because it's so simple. It's a tiny little paperback, and it's alphabetical by any physical ailment. So, for example, if you have a friend dealing with, high blood pressure, you look up high blood pressure, and she lists all the stones that help with high blood pressure,
mm-hmm.
and then you could use that to make a healing grid.
Mm-hmm. I'm writing one in there I like too, by Cassandra Eason.
Good.
And she does the same thing as she talks about the healing properties of stone.
I wanted to say to our caller last week, I can't remember if it was Rebecca or Rachel, but I wanted to thank her and to tell everyone that I have just submitted about a 3 or 4 page list of recommended reading to my web designer, and she should have that on my website towards the end of the week.
Oh, right, because we're always recommending books to folks, and so that's a new feature.
Someone had called in and asked us to do that, and I thought, I need to just get on that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I did.
Absolutely.
But anyway, so another good thing you can do, if when in doubt, is use clear crystal.
Always.
And my favorite thing to do is to use single terminated clear crystal points. And I like to point them at an obelisk shape. I never know how to say that.
Obelisk.
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 Obelisk. shaped stone or a pyramid-shaped stone, so that you're sending all this wonderful energy in that center stone, and then that center stone is symbolically shooting it up and out into the universe where it will manifest for you.
Right.
That's how I envision it.
Or if you turn the points inward on another stone or another piece in the center of the grid that you might want to infuse with that energy. For example, if you've got your rose quartz pyramid and you want to amplify that, you might want to amplify that by turning your points inward. There are two great questions in the chat room, and I want to address them both. They ask about learning how to charge the grid.
Bet you we do this differently, too.
Okay, you go first, and then I'll go.
Well, because I'm a Reiki master, I think I do my grids a little bit differently in that what I do before I place each stone on my grid is I hold each stone in my hands. Well, first of all, I draw the Reiki symbols in my hand. Then I hold the stone in my palms. And I put the distant healing symbol in there, and I send it Reiki. And I tell it what I'm asking it to do, and I thank it for doing that. And then I place it on the grid. Once the grid is in place, I hold my hands over the grid. I put the distant symbol in there, the empowerment symbol, and the master symbol over the grid. And then I take a large single terminated clear crystal. I do the same thing. I put all the symbols in there. I charge it. And then I hold that point over each of the other points, and I go around the crystal grid saying, I charge this grid with light, with light, with light. I charge this grid with love, with love, with love. I charge this grid to heal, to heal, to heal. And then I say thank you, and I put the master crystal next to the grid.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, right. We do it very differently.
I'm sure.
Because I'm not a Reiki master.
Right.
Before I address that, there's a caller on the switchboard. I'm so sorry we're not taking calls tonight. We will be doing a call show sometime in the near future. Here's how I do this. First of all, as I am being called to or choosing the stones that are going to go into the grid, I clean them in whatever is the appropriate way to clean the stone, because some stones can be cleaned in water or salt or sage, and you know there are different ways you clean different stones. And so I clean them and sort of neutralize them almost. And then I bring them into the grid, and I ask them, I hold them for a while, I meditate with them for a while, I set my intention and tell the stone what I'd like, what my intention is, and ask it if it is willing to work with me on this intention. And a lot of times I can feel, one of the ways that I sense the stone's agreement is that the heat will change, the stone's temperature will change in my hand, and I'll know that that's a way that it has said yes, it agrees to do that. And then I set up the grid, and then I too use my hands over the grid, but not in the same way you as a Reiki master would do, but that I act as a conduit to bring into the intention of that grid what is for the highest good of all, because that's really important, is that your intention may be absolutely pure and wonderful and perfect, and that might not ultimately be for the highest good for whatever it is you're praying for. And so it's important to say that and to at some point let that go. I'm done. Then the stones do their job.
Wonderful.
Right. Let's take a break. We're past the halfway mark, and then we'll come back to this, and let's talk about who we are and give folks some information that we've been promising them, and basically do our little advertisement here. You are listening to the Psychic Teachers Podcast. I am Deb Bowen.
And I'm Samantha Fay.
And we are delighted and honored that you all are with us tonight. There are now more than 14,500 of you out there. Folks, I can't tell you how grateful that makes us. We are now one of the 10 most popular paranormal shows on Blog Talk Radio, and we are honored that you are our listeners.
Are just our live listeners each week.
Yes.
So I'm so grateful for the many multitudes of you downloading us on iTunes, and I just checked went over there the other night, and the wonderful comments keep coming in. So we really appreciate that, because the more comments you put on iTunes, the more easily it is for other people to find us out there in cyber world.
Yeah.
So we really appreciate that. It's very uplifting to read those lovely comments.
Absolutely, it is. We have put lots of contact information in the chat room, but if you're just listening and are not in the chat room, again, the conduit to get to all of our various websites and blogs is www.psychicteachers.com. That will get you to lots of places and things that Samantha and I do, as well as our Facebook page.
Our email, if you have any questions or comments, is psychicteachers@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we'd love for you to become our friend on Facebook. We're running a special with that for the month of September, and that is that at the end of September, we will draw a name out of our Facebook listeners, and that person...
No.
That's this month.
Yeah, we picked our winner.
We picked our winner. That's last month. Never mind. We have a new special.
Our September special is if you become a follower of both
our
of our
blogs. There we go. Duh. All right, start that again. Our September special is?
If you become a follower of both of our blogs, then at the end of September, you will be entered into a contest to win a free reading with both Deb and myself. And my blog is crystal-chick.blogspot.com. And Deb?
Mine is, my blog is www.debbowentoroblog.blogspot.com. That's a lot.
That is a lot.
I know, and I don't know what made me do that.
Let's announce our winner.
Good.
For our Facebook friends contest, which we really appreciated. We have well over 100 people on our Facebook page, and we really hope that grows. We want it to be sort of a community for you all to interact with each other, because the energy coming from you guys is just wonderful and lovely and exciting, and I just think it would be great if you guys could connect with each other that way, in addition to just on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But our winner is Cherie Hall.
Yay, Cherie.
Yay.
That is so exciting.
So if you're listening, Cherie, send us an email, psychicteachers@gmail.com. Let us know your best time, morning, afternoon, or evening, and we will schedule a reading with you as soon as the three of us can agree on a mutual time.
That would be just lovely. Samantha and I love doing readings. I mean, folks, that's what we do. We love do it. And doing one together is lots of fun. Somebody's just put a note in the chat room that they can't find us on Facebook. I think probably what's happening is it's Psychic Teachers, all one thing,
yes,
right?
And thank you to Edward for pointing that out to me.
Yeah.
Yes, it's Psychic Teachers, all one word, and then we should come up.
Yeah, there you go. No space.
So, yeah, thank you for mentioning that chat room. I did want to mention as an aside, Deb, today is the anniversary of Mother Teresa's death. She died in 1997, and I just wanted to mention that to people and to throw out my favorite quote by her, which is, every day some small miracle happens.
Isn't that wonderful?
I just love that.
Isn't that wonderful?
So, she's a lovely person. If you get a chance, check out some of her quotes or some of her work. Because
she would have been 100 this year.
She's so inspiring.
Absolutely. Someone in the chat room has just asked, has a stone ever said, no, I can't do this, when asked to be a part of the grid? I've never had a stone actually say no, but I've had a stone say somebody else might be better,
mm-hmm.
and I've been guided to use something different.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just to know that.
Yes. That is very, very true. Okay, so what else? I know what I wanted to mention. October is going to be Ghost Month on Psychic Teachers, and I'm very excited about that. And so if you have any ghost stories that you'd like to share with the radio show, please send us an email, and we will read some of those at the end of each show throughout October.
Ooh, except for Halloween itself.
Yeah, except for Halloween itself. Unfortunately, Deb is working. She's in high demand that night. doing readings, and I'm going to be taking my kids trick-or-treating.
Right, so we
will
actually,
not be doing this show
right,
that Sunday.
Right, and that's a high holy day for me, so there are many reasons that I can't be available. I'm still really worried about this person who is hanging on in the switchboard. We're not taking calls tonight. I am so sorry. I don't know if they're listening and can hear me, but please just know that we're not taking calls.
I also wanted to say that we have gotten some, I mean, I just love, every week we get wonderful emails from you guys, and we're reaching out to people all over the world. In the past 2 weeks, we've gotten emails from people in England, Ireland, and Australia. And I want to say a special welcome to our listener, Anita, in Australia, who shared a wonderful good deed that she did with someone who sure did need a good deed, but it took a lot of Anita taking the high road to do that good deed. So I thank you to Anita. And she wanted us to answer a question about imaginary friends. And I thought we could take a minute to answer that question.
Oh, okay. Are we going to get off crystal grids for a
just
while?
Just for a second.
Okay.
I just have a list of things I need to talk about.
Okay, go ahead.
Back.
Okay.
To me, imaginary friends are our spirit guides. And when we're young, we can see and connect with our spirit guides. Sometimes they can even be our angels. And we don't know as a child to say, oh, mother, this is my spirit guide talking to me. And so we call them our friend. And then as parents, as we're so far removed from that world, we call them imaginary. But I do believe that they are most of the time very real indeed.
You know, sometimes I do a funny little survey about that. If I'm with a group of people, you know, at a party or something, I'll say, well, how many people had imaginary friends as children? And most folks, of course, did and have some connection and understood that what our parents called imaginary friends were very, very real to us. They weren't imaginary really at all to us. And I found that the folks who don't have imaginary friends sometimes feel like they really miss something. And so I point out to them that, in fact, you can connect with your guides now as adults. You don't have to have been a child to go there.
Good, that's good. That's awesome. All right, so let's get back to crystal grids. Break is over.
Okay. Let me think. Some of the other reasons.
I'll talk about the other picture I posted on my blog.
Okay, go
on
there.
On my Facebook fan page.
Mm-hmm.
It's my manifesting grid that I have up all the time, and I just kind of will sometimes switch out the goal underneath the center stone. But this is my, I have a center stone pointing up, and then I have a clear quartz single terminated crystal in the north, east, south, and west corners, or not corners, but you know what I mean, pointing into the stone.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have two single terminated points between each of the clear crystal ones, so for a total of eight.
Again, you use, and that's a real important piece to talk about, is that when you're creating a grid, you can also incorporate numerology, you can incorporate sacred geometry, as I was talking earlier about the spiral that I created for that notion of connectedness and the circle. You can use tarot symbols, for example.
Yeah.
There are certain stones, you can use chakra stones that are connected to various energy centers in the body. So,
and using the north, east, south, and west just helps to pull in the energies from those areas.
Absolutely, and again, you would use, perhaps if you're looking in the four directions, you would use colors of stones that are connected with those directions. White stones, for example, in the north, yellow in the east, red stones in the south, and blue or black or gray stones in the west. So you could do that as well.
Yes, that's a great idea. And then underneath that stone, I simply write the goal that I'm working on manifesting, and I write it in the present tense, which I think is very important. And if you look at the picture I posted, you will see all my little saints gathered behind the crystal grid and all the big angels behind my saints.
Mm-hmm.
And I ask those little statues to also work hard to pray for my goal manifesting.
I did a grid a while back for a friend who really was in an emotionally chaotic place. And I created a grid with rose quartz and some upper chakra stones. I used blue lace agate, chrysocolla, fuchsite, some other high amethyst and clear quartz, and I encircled the grid with a rosary because my friend is Catholic, and I knew that that rosary would help be a connection for her for the energy of that. And I did the same thing. I put my rose quartz pyramid in the center, and just on a very small piece of paper wrote my intention for her and put it under that piece of rose quartz.
And it worked, didn't it?
It did work. I do believe it was helpful to her.
I'm going to try to put in the chat room some different stones for different grids while we're talking about some of this.
Oh, good. If you can talk and type it, the great. This is...
I think I can. I will try. Mm-hmm. All right. What other... I feel like there's another type of grid that we are forgetting. You can grid each room, and you can grid your office.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's important. In my office, what I do is I put a single... Seriously, people, you cannot have enough single-terminated clear quartz crystals.
No.
And I have four of those, and I put one in each corner pointing into the center of the room.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably put them standing up if they would stand up by themselves, you know, to point up the walls and increase the energy up.
Mm-hmm.
But most of mine do not do that. So I have them pointing into the center of the room towards my crystal grid, and then I imagine that energy pulling all the energy up.
Mm-hmm.
Into a place of light and love. And we'll, Deb and I will probably tell the story in October with our ghost stuff. But my old office, we believed the building it was in was haunted. And when we were doing
It
really was. And when we were doing a clearing on it, it was really neat because they had put digital recorders in each room. And at one point, the ghost had gotten agitated. And all the digital recorders shut off in every room except my office. And do you remember what you said to me?
I said, there's no way in this room that that could happen. There's so much energy in this room from all the stones in this room.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, absolutely.
It was wonderful.
The
ghost could not enter that room to turn the digital recorder off.
Right.
So
and I worked with a ghost hunting team for that.
Yeah, it definitely does work. You can grid your desk. You can put crystals in the four corners of your desk to grid it in a place of light and love and to protect you from any negativity.
Oh, here's what's on my desk at work right now. There is a piece of Amazonite for courage and for peace in the office. There is a clear quartz point for balance and centering and to amplify this energy. There is a beautiful piece of turquoise to bring healing to the disagreements and whatnot that go on in an office situation. And there is an amethyst to help amplify everything. And those stones are placed just where they need to be in my office.
Mm-hmm. Hey, let's talk about romance.
And if anybody, let me just say this. If anybody came into my office and looked at that, they would just think, oh, she's got rocks on her desk.
Yeah.
So you don't have to go around explaining this if you're in a situation where that might seem weird to people.
And can I say that I've been in your office, and it's beautiful, and you have an altar in every room you live in.
I do. There's an altar in every room.
And it's not noticeable.
Yeah, my friend Jamila says, give Deb a flat surface and she'll build an altar.
She'll build an altar.
And that is true. I mean, literally, in my office and in every room in my house, there's an altar. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So for all the single ladies who are waiting for someone to put a ring on, no, I'm kidding. Let's talk about romance grids. Because you can do a crystal grid to enhance romance in your life. To call romance into your life.
You
right?
can, but I want to put a caveat to that before you go.
Oh, we
any
need
further.
To put lots of caveats on that. So you start and then I'll continue.
In my belief, what we send out comes back to us threefold. And it is so very, very, very important that what we send out is positive energy and that we trust that the universe knows better than us. And so if your intent is make Billy love me,
no.
Wrong,
no,
no points, no, 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 because that might not be for either of you, your higher goods. But if you would like to send out the notion that love that is meant for you in whatever form and from whomever comes to you, that's okay. That's a different thing.
Yes.
Okay, now go.
No, I mean, that's so important because I mean, you cannot do that. That's bad mojo.
It really is.
What I was thinking that a romance grid is really good for is it's one of two reasons. If you're alone, actually more than one of two reasons. Let's say that you're alone and you haven't been with someone in a long time and you'd like to, you're ready to start a new relationship again. You could do a grid of just rose quartz, for example, because it's such a gentle stone. And what I would probably do is in the center, I would probably put two stones in the center. And I would put them over an affirmation card that has something very positive, such as, you know, all my relationships are loving and respectful and healthy.
And healthy, yes.
healthy. Or I attract to my life now a partner who is, and then list really positive qualities.
Absolutely.
If you've just gotten over a really bad breakup and you're looking to heal from that, I would probably do a crystal grid of just malachite, rhodochrosite, rhodondite, maybe some carnelian. And I would probably do two rose quartz in the center, and I again over an affirmation card that says something like, my heart heals now with love, forgiveness, and acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also do a romance grid if you're in an existing relationship that is experiencing some problems. And in that grid, you could use any of the stones I've already mentioned, but you can also use a lot of the green stones to work on healing that relationship.
Can I throw something in that? Yes. I would use some of the blue stones for better communication as well.
Oh, good idea. Like blue lace sack. Yeah, I'll type in the blue stones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a really good idea, especially I think blue lace agate is just my favorite one.
Oh, I love blue lace agate. It sore throats. It works on mm-hmm. sore throats. But, yes, because a lot of times what has happened in a present relationship where things are not so good and you would like to enhance the relationship is that communication has, for whatever reason, stopped. And so
yeah.
To add in some of those communication stones is a good thing.
That's a great idea. So I just want everyone to just kind of think about things going on in their life and how you can really incorporate crystals to help increase the energy towards purposely manifesting and bringing that positive energy into your life.
If you've got a child, I'm just thinking about health.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a child who is prone to colds and upper respiratory kind of infections during the winter, as you're planning for cold season, put a grid in your child's room, like, you know, up high on a shelf or something where they're not going to mess with it particularly, that's got some of the throat chakra stones that can be used for keeping that area of the body healthy for the winter.
Yes, and I wanted to mention you can grid yourself. You can grid your body.
Of course.
One of my favorite layouts for gridding your body is called the emotionally calming layout.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you lay down and you put a citrine, the golden yellow stone at your solar plexus, which is right above your belly button. On your heart center, you put a rose quartz in the middle and then four single terminated quartz points pointing out away from the heart, away from the rose quartz. That's important. And then on the third eye, you put an amethyst. And you lay there for 20 minutes. And while you're laying there, you visualize anything negative in your heart, any unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, sadness, or trauma, leaving your heart center.
Mm-hmm.
And when the 20 minutes is over, you then turn the single terminated crystals pointing into the rose quartz, and you imagine all pink and green and healing and loving and light energy coming into your heart, filling it with just peace
mm-hmm.
and love.
Mm-hmm.
And you do that for 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great idea. We've got a question in the chat room about stones in a classroom for middle school kids. What a great idea. Oh, golly, I'm writing. Try rose quartz, malachite, clear quartz. What's a good grounding stone, Samantha, for them?
I think black tourmaline, hematite,
one of the dark stones. Try those for your kids.
And I just put in a rose quartz cluster. Please get a rose quartz cluster because that'll help everyone to work together with love.
Oh, absolutely, to bring the kids together. Good. Oh, boy, we are out of time, folks. Thank you all so very much for your great great questions in the chat room tonight. Good comments. I'm so grateful. We are the Psychic Teachers. I'm Deb Bowen.
I'm Samantha Fay.
And contact us at our website, www.psychicteachers.com.
And tune in next week. We're going to be talking about the ethics of doing readings.
Absolutely, and we love talking about our ethics. So join us next week, and we'll talk to you about how you know when you've got an honest and honorable psychic with whom to work.
Have
everybody be blessed. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.